Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Here begins the reading. As he was teaching, he said, "Watch out for the legal experts. They like to walk around in long robes. They want to be greeted with honor in the markets. They long for places of honor in the synagogues and at banquets. They are the ones who cheat widows out of their homes, and to show off, they say long prayers. They will be judged most harshly." Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money. One poor widow came forward and put in two small copper coins worth a penny. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who's been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving out of their spare change, but she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on." The word of God for the people of God.
I was driving in here to the church Monday of this past week. If you're somewhat familiar with the area, you may know Turquoise that then comes and turns up into the boulevard and then, you know, going through Bird Rock, and there's all the traffic circles. So as I'm coming across, and most of it's like one lane either direction, right? There's a couple places that it widens out, but really it's mostly one lane either direction. And so I'm coming down Turquoise, and there's a person in an SUV behind me. Boy, they're driving awfully close to me. Got me a little nervous. Well, came up to a stoplight, and it's one of those places that it widens out. And this person pulled into that lane. I was so they pulled into the next lane. I was number two in the lane I was in. And the light turned green, and everybody started to go. And man, this SUV just whipped in and cut me off. Well, I don't know if it's God's sense of humor or what, but as we continue down Turquoise, you know, there's the Gelsons there, and sometimes a big old semi's got to deliver food to the Gelsons, and he was blocking the whole road. And so we all had to wait anyway. But boy, this SUV was inching up and inching up and inching up, and there was just a little bit of room on the wrong way side. I'm sorry, Jones. I know. I was upset at this guy, too. Friends, young voices, whether they are weeping or expressing themselves or talking about Godzilla or expressing the wisdom that we sometimes hear during our blessing of young hearts, those voices are always welcome here, period. My little tangent, I know I sometimes do that. So, like I said, Jones, I was worried about this person, and this truck is trying to deliver stuff, and there's only one lane on the far side and wrong way traffic that's available, and this guy whips around from the far right all the way around this truck and guns it to move on to the boulevard and up through Bird Rock. Well, I was patient and kind, and I continued up the boulevard, and boy, again, I don't know if God's got a sense of humor. I don't know if God had anything to do with it. I don't know if God didn't care or what. But this person was only about two cars in front of me going through all those traffic circles. All this aggression, all this stuff didn't make a difference. And still, man, not even going all the way around the traffic circles. You know how sometimes just drive up and over the curb? Yeah, that. That kind of aggression. And I got into the office and I was still flustered. I was frustrated. And like, I acknowledge, my friends, I acknowledge that for this person, like, maybe there was some emergency happening. Maybe there was some place that this person needed to be. Like, I acknowledge that as a possibility. But also, friends, like, sometimes people just aren't aware of what's going on around them. Sometimes people are so self-centered and self-focused that they just don't care about what's going on around them. I don't know if that's the case for this person, but I got to tell you, friends, I see it too often. I see it, and you've heard me talk before sometimes, that I fear sometimes about a sense of cultural narcissism. I'm a child of the 80s and 90s, you know, the Star Trek movies. Do you remember where Kirk and Spock are talking about the needs of the many and the needs of the few? Boy, sometimes people seem to focus on the needs of the few over the needs of the many. I just found it frustrating. I found it irritating. I found that it affected my day. But what if we've been measuring value all wrong? What if we've been measuring value all wrong? This is not a new issue. This is not a new problem. I believe this is precisely what Jesus was addressing in our text today. Now, Jesus starts out, and I want to read it to you. I want to get this right. And you might understand why I want to get this right. He's teaching in the temple. As he's teaching, he says, watch out for the legal experts, the scribes. They want to, all my JD friends, you're safe. It's okay. I'm not going to direct this at you. He says, watch out, because they like to walk around in long robes. They like to be recognized in public. They long for places of honor in the synagogues. Those are nice chairs over there, aren't they? Not a lot of people get to sit up there. I make some jokes about this, friends, but honestly, like, I need to be kept humble. It is nice. It is nice to be in the grocery store and be recognized. Although it's fun, I was in a Costco once. In a previous appointment, I was in a Costco and I ran into a church member, and boy, she was checking out what I had in my cart. Sometimes it's nice, sometimes it's a little dicey. But it is nice to be seen, to be appreciated, to be valued. In every appointment I've ever had, every church I've ever served, people do me the absolute honor of calling me Pastor Bob. I've told you the story before about pulling up to an intersection. There's one of those people at the intersection with the cardboard signs. And he terrified me because he yells out, Pastor Bob, and he runs out across traffic to come say hello. What a privilege it is to be named and honored that way. So I need this reminder to be humble. I need this reminder that if I'm wearing my robe, if I'm sitting in the nice chairs up front, that it's not about me. Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money. One poor widow came forward and put in 2 small copper coins worth a penny. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who's been putting money in the treasury. See, Jesus contrasts those values. Jesus notes that even then, perhaps we've been measuring value the wrong way. You may have heard this before, but it was a tangible difference when the widow put in what we call the widow's mite. You see, there are a couple of ways that money was received in the temple. I knew one of these. I didn't know the other one of these. One way is there would be a person who would sort of call out some of the gifts that were given. That was a really public way. Like, we just finished our stewardship campaign. Rebecca, what would it be like if every time a pledge card came in, we just announced it? That'd be rough. Like, we'd all think twice about what we'd write, what number we'd write on there, wouldn't we? The other way, and this is the way I've heard of before, you see, there were these large metal, sort of like trumpets. And when people would put their money in, especially metal money, which was most common, it would make a lot of noise. So if you go, not unlike the people that Jesus was just busy critiquing, you go up to that trumpet, right? And you've got this big pile of, you know, of, and you might pour it in just a little extra slow to make sure everybody hears it. But Jesus contrasts that. He contrasts that with the widow who puts in two small coins. Friends, I miss Lincoln Hickey. He gifted me with several coins, Judean coins, that are so old they may have been in circulation around the time of the widow's mite. Do you see how small they are? Can you imagine? There's five of them on here. Can you imagine just two of these? How could you even hear it over the hubbub of those other people putting their money in those loud and clanging trumpets? How could you even hear it? Jesus hears it. Jesus notes it. Jesus points at this woman who gives everything she has. Even what she needs to eat. If you'd like to look at these after the service, I'd be happy to show them to you. Robert Bryant from Presbyterian College in Clinton, South Carolina writes, "The widow represents the opposite end of the spectrum from those who have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. Many onlookers disregard her offering, but Jesus notices and calls his disciples to him. He wants them to see the true faith behind their offerings. The widow's offering demonstrates her total trust in God. She, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had. Hers is a costly discipleship. And Jesus praises her for exemplary faith, a faith that surpasses that of the many religious leaders whose faith is a sham." Jesus recognizes that the widow's offering of two small coins is not only an act of generosity, it's an act of trust. It's an act of total and complete self-giving. And it is in direct contrast with the scribes and the Pharisees. I wonder if the scribes and the Pharisees only gave until it might start to hurt. You've heard the phrase, give until it hurts. And I wonder if that's the perspective of the scribes and the Pharisees. Emily Towns from Vanderbilt Divinity School writes, "The widow's coins represent faith and belief and how these must be lived in our lives in concrete acts and not solely by rituals that no longer hold religious power. The coins represent faith-filled offering found in presenting all of who we are and all we hope to become to God's service, to become to God for service." Sorry, let me say that again. "In presenting all of who we are and all we hope to become to God for service to the world." All we are and all we hope to become. You've heard me say before, I hope ad nauseum, I hope repeatedly, that if our faith is confined to 1 hour on Sunday morning, then it's not enough. Then we're not doing it right. We must, if we come to this place, if we join in worship, either in person or through cameras and screens, if we open our heart to God's Holy Spirit, I believe that God's Holy Spirit can transform us, can make us more than we are. if we confine that to an hour a week, if we don't allow ourselves to be transformed in such a way that we go out into the world changed, we go out into the world doing things differently, living life differently, seeing the world differently, if we don't allow an hour on Sunday morning to change us profoundly once we leave this place, then I don't think we're doing it right. We have to be changed. We have to look at value a different way. We have to give of ourselves, maybe like the widow, maybe more than the Pharisees, maybe beyond such that it hurts. Instead of giving until it hurts, go beyond that and give till it feels good. In the temple, what might have sounded small, what might have gone unnoticed, was deeply valued by Jesus, the Christ and the Messiah. This kind of faith, like the widows, it doesn't go unnoticed by the world when it's lived boldly and outwardly and consistently. We can live as though this hour matters, this hour changes. And it might be through small and sincere acts of generosity and love, doing so consistently that it becomes a defining way of life that speaks profoundly and sometimes louder than any grand gesture. This is the kind of faith that makes a difference in the world and helps people to see who we are. Friends, I hope in this time of worship that you have opened your heart and your mind to God's Holy Spirit. I hope, whether it's through sacred text or song or the joy of an infant voice or this message, that you have experienced God's Holy Spirit and you allow it to change you so dramatically that you process into the world differently than how you came in. That you see value differently. And that you give yourself to the world not until it hurts, but beyond until it feels good. Give until it feels good, my friend.